What a joy it is to be here tonight. I do appreciate so much the opportunity to come. And the music has just been exceptional. I remember years ago going back to a country church, and their group sang, and the pastor said, "I love that singing that has some juice in it." He said, I don't like my food dry. And so I'm telling you that had some juice in it. And I appreciate God's goodness and grace and your good pastor. I was telling some of the ladies that, and I told you, Pastor, as well, that I'd heard of the pastor who was here so long and I guess built much of this work. I heard of him ever since I've been in Tennessee, 37 years. But I never was privileged to meet him. And so then when Brother Vinoy called me and told me, I was very excited about coming. And I have one desire this week, and one only, and that is to help you. I'd rather close my Bible right now and let this pastor call some of you good men of God to preach, and I'll hear you preach and I'll go home before I'd hurt you. I want to help you. I've been pastoring 41 years, and I have never seen so many hurting people as I see now. In every direction you look, physically, my wife has severe rheumatoid arthritis. She had back surgery 7 or 8 years ago. And if the Lord doesn't perform a miracle, we may have to go through that again. And that's just everywhere you look. I'm just one of many, many. And then financially, we live in such uncertain times. Uncertain. One man says he'll get us out of the ditch, and he gets us deeper in the ditch. Another fella comes along, he makes the same promise, and we just keep on sinking. The only hope for America is repentance and turn back to God. But I believe this, as the preacher said, I believe God can give us revival. I believe that. I believe this church can have revival. I believe we as individuals can have revival. And if our nation would repent, I believe we could have revival. I really do. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4. All right? In Hebrews chapter 4, while you're turning there, Brother Billy Goolsby told me about two men who met up with each other. And one said, "You know, it's been a long time since I've seen you." And he said, "Boy, it has been a long time." He said, "A lot has happened." He said, "In fact," said, "I got married since I saw you last." And he said, "Boy," he said, "that's good." He said, "No, that's bad." Said, "She's mean as a snake." He said, "Boy, that is bad." And he said, "Well, not all that bad." Said, "She's very rich." He said, "Now that's good." He said, "No, that's bad." Said, "She won't give me a dime of it." He said, "Boy, that is bad." He said, "Well, there's one good thing came out of it." Said, "She built us a mansion to live in." He said, "Boy, that's good." He said, "No, that's bad." Said, "Last night it burned to the ground." That guy said, "Boy, that's bad." He said, "No, that's good. She was in it." So I don't know. I don't know if that's the truth or not. Brother Goolsby said it. I asked him if I could tell that here and there, and I'd give him the credit for it. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to deal with the subject tonight I trust God will help us with and help you as well. We're going to begin our reading at verse 9, and we'll read through verse 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. Will you please pray with me and for me? Father, we thank you so much to be in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the warmth of the atmosphere which we sense. Thank you for your saints who gather together for the purpose of fellowshipping with one another and worshiping Almighty God. Thank you for this good choir who has come to bless our hearts tonight with the good songs of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for every work that's represented here tonight, praying that you will breathe upon it and that your good work will be performed by it. And Lord, I ask you, please, that you would have mercy upon us and help us tonight, because we surely stand in dire need of your touch upon our life. Help us tonight, Father, to edify this body and to glorify our Lord. We do ask our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Now, in verse 9, we read, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And in verse 11, we read, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." And I'd like to talk to you a little while this evening on the rest that's worth laboring for. There is a rest for the people of God. And I assure you this evening, and if the Lord will help me, thank you for you who have prayed for me and are praying for me right now, we'll learn the value of this rest. Now notice carefully, I'm not speaking about resting in one's labors, but I'm speaking about laboring in order that we might rest. There's a place that God has for each one of us, so beneficial in our Christian life. Now let me begin by saying this is the rest chapter of the Bible. The term rest appears here more than it does in any other chapter of the Bible. And in this chapter, we have at least five rests that are mentioned. We have the rest of creation. When God had created all that he created, the creation came to rest. And even the scientists will tell you there's nothing else being created in this day, because you don't add to what God has done. He created it right. He put it in motion, and he sustains it as it is doing what he put it forth to do. And then we have the rest of the Sabbath here. We learn of that in this chapter. And then we learn about the rest of Canaan. God had a rest for the people of Israel. But there Jesus, Joshua, Jesus and Joshua come from the same name, same word. And there Jesus, who was Joshua, could not lead them into that rest. And the reason he could not was because they were not willing to continue in the path that he had paved for them to walk in. But thank God our Jesus can lead us into that rest if we were willing to go. And I believe that there are many of God's saints who are here tonight that know something about this rest we're talking about. And then there is the rest of heaven we find here, and then the rest of consecration. And that's where we're headed tonight, to talk to you a little while about that. Now, this Bible has at least three areas of rest, or eras, I should say, perhaps, for the believer. Number one is the rest of the past. I'm resting in the past. Thank God that's been taken care of by the Lord Jesus. And He did rest from His works. He did sit down by the right hand of the Majesty on high as our great High Priest, showing that all the work that was to be done has been done. And I'm resting in that tonight. I'm not trying to help Christ one bit. I'm not trying to add to the great salvation which He wrought for us when He gave His life on Calvary's cross. Amen. He finished it. He did it well. And then there is the rest of the future. And I'm resting in that future rest. You see, the Lord Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Bible speaks in the book of, I believe, Hebrews, that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus Christ said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And John, the apostle, on the Isle of Patmos, saw that city. Amen. Adorned as a bride for her husband, coming down from God out of heaven. And so Abraham looked for that city. Jesus went to build that city. And John saw that city. And one day the saved of God are going to move into that city. So I'm resting in the future work of God. But to be honest with you, this present rest gives me a little struggle and a battle along the way. And that's where the real burden of my text lies tonight. For the scriptures read in our text, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. You see, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May I say, Christ is the rest giver. And a lot of people are looking for rest in a lot of places. But Christ is the only one that can give you rest. I'm for any organization under the sun that will be a benefit and a help to humanity. But only Christ can give you rest. There may be someone here tonight that's burdened down, maybe with sin, maybe burdened with guilt. Jesus said, come unto me, amen, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest from that burden that you're carrying of sin or of guilt or whatever that burden might be. But then He said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now that's a different rest. When the believer comes to Christ, he's repenting of his sins. He's trusting Christ as Lord and Savior of life. God gives him rest. He's resting in that finished work of the Lord Jesus. But then He said, I've got a yoke. If you want to really know all about rest, you're going to have to get in this yoke with me. Amen. You're going to have to get in this yoke with me. Hey, you say, you mean you can be in the yoke and rest? Jesus said you could. And I know that you can tonight. And He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's where we get into rest when we come to Him. So Christ speaks about the rest of salvation. And He speaks about the rest of consecration. When our life is in union with Him as it ought to be. Now, if you look back with me here in, let's see, verse number 2, we find this rest that we're headed toward is presented as a gospel. And you know what a gospel is? That is good news. That is glad tidings. And so the apostle writes, "For unto us was the gospel preached." And he's talking about this rest. You can go back to chapter 3, read the rest of chapter 4, and he's talking about this rest. It is a rest from striving. And the way we rest from striving is through believing. There are many of God's precious children tonight that are in a strifeful condition. You don't have to be there. If you'll believe and take God at His Word and trust what He has said, thank God you can rest from that striving. Hey, listen, we've got enough problem from without. We don't need any within. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You can have some rest within. You see, we strive not to improve on Christ's work. Thank God He did it perfect. And it pleased the Father. In fact, He said, "I do always the things that please Him." And so when He set Him down on His right hand of the throne of God, then God is saying, "You have pleased Me well." Now, we don't strive to make Christ's work any better. We don't strive to improve in it. What do, Brother Jones? We trust in it. We put our trust in what He did in mine, your behalf. We strive not to make God's promises any truer than they are. What do? We rest in them. When God has made us a promise, we take it for face value. We step out on it. And may I say, when we step out on the promise of God, as our brother has already talked about tonight, we are not stepping out in the dark. Not at all. Maybe that was the talk you and I had in the chamber this evening. But it's not a step in the dark. Amen. It is a step of faith. We are trusting what God has said. You see, faith is not filled with questions. Faith just hears and faith responds. And that's how we get into that place of rest. Don't try to make His promises any truer. They're true enough. We don't strive to make the Word of God more meaningful. And I probably won't get there this week. But it seems as if some try to make the Word of God sharper than it is already. Some try to make it stronger than it is already. Some try to strengthen it as if it alone will not stand. I assure you tonight, this Word only needs one thing, and that's wielding it. It means you and I to proclaim it and put it forth. I promise you this Word of God will do its job. And a man said, "I've learned that preaching alone no longer gets the job done." I say to that, if preaching doesn't get it done, God's work's not going to get done. Because that is what God Himself has chosen to save them that believe. Bless the Lord. Now listen carefully, my next few statements, that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But this world around us is merciless and selfish. It seems as if so many people in today's society could care less what it costs anyone else, as long as they can get where they want to get or get what they want to get. They're going to have what they want at the expense of others. Now listen to this next statement and follow me just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we can break. Did you know that? We can break because people have an emotional breakdown, because they have what they call a mental breakdown. That does not mean that person wasn't saved and that person was not trusting Christ at all. Did you know that pill companies and psychiatrists and psychologists are having a heyday in this day? We are wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Medical science has been studying this body that God created 6,000 years ago, and they're learning all the time more and more about it. The psalmist is right. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but all of us can only take so much. You can only handle so much. That's why we need to get into this place of rest. Asylums tonight, hospitals, and prisons are housing a lot more people than they should be because they just could not live with themselves and live with other people. Our brothers visited the prisons many times, and I'm sure that you ran across that situation more than once. I know that I did when I went on several occasions with Rock of Ages prison ministry and meet people, and they just couldn't live with anybody. You know what's wrong? There's a turmoil going on in here. That man, humanity, and society comes from the outside trying to treat that. Hey, the problem's not out here. The problem's in here. And we need a new heart, and we need to become a new creature, and we need to learn how to rest in God. There is a gospel here to enter into that rest. And thank God, if I'm reading my scriptures right, we can enter that rest. We can experience that rest. We can enjoy that rest that God knows something about and that God has provided for you and I. God is not glorified when His children are troubled and when they're struggling and when they're torn from here to there. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. There are some things you're not going to change, and I'm not going to change them. There's things I have prayed about, I have fasted over, and nothing happened. It went on just like it went. There's some things you can't change. There are some times when we're going to have to sit back. I'm getting off my text a little bit here. But there are some times when we're going to have to sit back and say, God, Thy will be done. You know what I want. But Lord, I rest in You that You are going to do everything right. God's rest is a pacifying rest. I'm not talking about a careless attitude. I'm talking about resting. Resting. There are people tonight that are in such mental condition because they're just worrying and worrying and worrying over things that they cannot change. Oh, yes, we care. And oh, yes, we love. But there are things we cannot change. Only God can change them. And we're going to have to rest in His provision, in His power, to get those things accomplished. Now, back up with me, please, to chapter 3. And we'll notice here at least 7 pleas in connection with that rest that the apostle makes. In verse 1 of chapter 3, I call your attention to the word consider. Then down in verse 7, the phrase, hear His voice. And in verse 8, harden not your heart. And in verse 12, take heed. And in verse 13, exhort one another daily. And then in verse 14, hold fast. Amen. These things hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And chapter 4 and verse 1 is to fear. There is a fear that we are to expel. We are to cast it from us. But there is a fear that we are to exercise. Amen. Fear and reverence for God and who He is and what He's able to do in my and your behalf. Now, here is a burden of my text tonight. There are four things that the apostle makes what I call four prerequisites in connection with this rest. If any group of believers in the Bible was in a state of unrest, it was the Hebrews. Because these Hebrews have been converted from Judaism under Christianity. And the pressure is coming on to them. And they are in a place of considering going back into Judaism. And the apostle is writing and saying, oh no, Christ is the better way. Christ is the greater tabernacle. And on, He is the greater sanctuary. The high priest fulfilled his duties, but he had to keep going. Amen. Every year he had to keep going. But the Son of God entered in one time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hey, don't consider going back into Judaism. Christ is the better way. They were in a place of unrest and turmoil had overcome them. So the apostle is writing, trying to get them to see the importance of getting to this place of rest. So let's look at these four things quickly tonight. Number one, we must resign to God's will for our lives. If we're going to get into this place of rest, I tell our church, I don't know how many times I've told them, maybe hundreds of times, that the will of God is the most important thing for your life. That is it. That's number one. That's number one. Remember what Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 7? In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He said, that's why I come. You know why Jesus could rest? Because he was resting in the will of God. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And Christ said, I do always the thing that pleases him. Now go with us to the scene of the upper room. The last night our Lord is with his disciples on earth. He's going to die the following day. And they have the table spread and they're observing the Lord's Supper, and Jesus looks around and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Here is a room with 12 men. Judas has already been discovered and he has been dismissed. And so here is Christ with the 12 men in that room. And all 11 of those men are jittery. They are troubled. Remember how chapter 14 of John begins, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. And then he says also in the same chapter later on, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why could he? Here is Jesus. He's going to die tomorrow. He is facing the cross. He is facing all of the scoffing. He is facing the reviling. He is facing all the terrible things. And he is sitting there right in the midst of all them, just as peaceful. And he's saying, fellas, the peace that's keeping me right now. They didn't understand, brother. They didn't. He tried to tell them three different times that he had to go to the cross and die. And finally, he just gave up. He said, it's enough. And Luke, no need trying to tell you. You're not going to get it. So here they are, troubled because they know Christ is going to leave them. And Jesus is sitting there. And he is peaceful. And he's saying, fellas, The peace that keeps me in this hour right now, I want you to have. I'm offering you that. I'll give you that peace if you will take it. Why? Because He's in the Father's will. He's not quarreling with the Father's will. Amen. He is not complaining about what the Father would have him to do. He's not questioning as to whether or not that he might have made a mistake in what he's doing. I guess every one of God's servants at one time or another have come to that place. Lord, are you sure this is right? Are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? Hey, listen, we must rest in the Father's will. Number two, we have to rely on the finished work of Christ. The Bible says here, speaking to Christ, that He also has ceased from His own works as God did from His. Why? Because there's no more work to be done. He did it all. Amen. We don't add baptism to salvation. Christ did it all. We don't add works to salvation. Christ did it all. We don't add religion to salvation. Christ paid the price. And in John 19:30, you've probably heard this before, but from the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished." What was finished? The work that the Father had given Him to do, that He already said in future tense in John 17, verse 4. Oh, Father, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work that Thou hast given me to do. I have done it. And so on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." They tell me that that phrase, "It is finished," is one word. And I've read two different ways that word is pronounced. So I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, not being a student of the Greek. But I know what it means. I'll illustrate. Here is an artist, and he has a painting similar to something of this nature. He studied it over. He's worked on it. And he looks, he picks up his brush, and he sees one little more detail. He puts it back down, backs up, looks at it again. Yep. Makes another little mark, comes back. He looks at it, and he stands there and gazes, looks at it over and over again. And then he throws his hands up. And he said that word, which means it is finished. I'm not going to make another stroke. It's just exactly the way it was planned in my mind. Just exactly. And that's what Jesus Christ was saying on the cross. One expositor said that you could translate that phrase as, "It is paid." We owed a debt we could not pay. And it was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for us. I want to tell you tonight, you cannot open the door to heaven any farther. Thank God it's wide open. Did you ever read? I know you read about the ark and how long and how high and how wide and the wind and how big it was supposed to be. But He said, put the door in the side. He never gave any dimensions for the door. You know why? Because you can't measure Him who is the door. And I'm going to tell you, He's big enough. He is big enough, amen, for every sinner. I don't care what you've done to come through Him. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the door." Amen. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." He's big enough for you to go in. You can't open it any farther. You can't destroy the works of the devil any further. You can't make the forgiveness of God any finer. You can't cause the pardon of sin to be any fuller. We must resign to the will of God. Are you in God's will tonight? Now, the will of God is not always easily discerned. And I'm very careful, Pastor, of telling somebody you are either in or out of the will of God. I just don't just say that. Because I don't know, but I believe you know. And if you're not in God's will that you know is for your life, you're not going to get into this rest. Your life is going to be a turmoil on the inside, even though you're saved and born again. God asks you to come to this rest and makes it available for you. And you can get in there. And then we got to rest in Christ's work. You can't add to it. He did it perfect when He did it. And thirdly, we recline in our great high priest's care. Boy, what a verse. We read in the fourth chapter where we find He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know what that word infirmities represents? Weakness is. You know what touches Christ? What touches the heart of God? Our strengths do not impress God. But it's when that person realizes, Lord, I cannot do this. And Lord, if you don't come to my rescue, what you put on my heart to do is not going to be done. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. Oh, God, that you will hear me and that you will help me. He can be touched by that. And He is touched by that. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him. Boy, I'd like to preach on that a while. Somebody said, why, that's nothing. What is a care to you may not be a care to me. What I can handle well, you may not can handle well. But if it is a care, put it on Him. Six cities of refuge. And one of those cities means shoulder. So Christ's shoulder is huge enough and strong enough for you to cast every care you've got on it. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the psalmist wrote, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. And we sing that great song, like John the Beloved and Blessed, on Jesus' strong arm, safe, secure from all harm. It's amazing how things come into our life and how they, should I say, hit us. Sometimes it's almost like a catastrophic flood. The tornado that touched down today in Morgan County was right beside my daughter's house, right beside it. It just snapped the trees off across the road, tore a man's roof off of his house across the road. Had a big tree leaning toward their house, huge. My son-in-law had to come in from work, and he and his dad were going to get it cut, lest it fall on the house. And I was talking to her. I said, honey, did you get in the bathroom? They say the safest place to get, if you don't have a basement, is to get in the bathroom because of the smallness and all the framework around. And she said, Daddy, it happened so quick, I didn't have time. And sometimes that's the way it happens in our life, isn't it? We're just going along. I'm going to tell you, whoever wrote that song, Merrily, Merrily, Life is But a Dream, is stupid. Life is anything but a dream. Life is reality. And you're just going along, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, You're just shocked. I got a phone call, Pastor, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm telling you, I just walked around in my house. I don't know for how long. Just stunned. I could not believe what had happened. What a man whom I had such confidence in. I just couldn't imagine it. And sometimes things hit us like that. And sometimes it's just like a constant irritation. We all have things we face in different ways, and all those things have a different effect upon us. And so we have to run to Him. Amen. We have to. We cannot let, and I know what I'm saying, and I've just confessed to you how these things will hit us from time to time, but don't let them keep us out of His rest. Because the whole time all that's going on, our Father is whispering, rest, my child. Rest. Rest, my child. Rest. He has promised to supply all our needs. He has promised never to leave us. In this chapter, or in this book, chapter 13, the apostle writes, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mr. Herbert Lockyer has what they call the All series. And he has won all the promises of the Bible. I was reading that one day. And he said, here is such a verse. He said, there's no other verse like it as far as I know in the Bible. He said, you read it far forward or backward, and it says the same thing. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. He said, read it forward or backward, you got the same message. God has made us a promise. We can rest in that promise. Amen. We can rest in it, I'm telling you. If you'll notice here in the chapter, there are four times the phrase, let us, appears. Four times we read, let us. Let us take our burdens to the Lord. Let us trust Him to do what is right. Let us touch Him. Let us triumph through Him. All of these things are in this chapter that we can have. Now listen to the last one, I'm done. Respond to the shepherd's leading. In chapter 13, verse 20, we read our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Boy, your dear pastor said something to me. I've been studying the Bible for 45 years, and I've never read it anywhere. What he said. He may want to preach it here, so I'm not going to tell you. But I thought, what a statement. That didn't come out of a commentary. I've read them all. About the pastor and the sheep. You can tell my trial is yours. But we need to respond to His leading. He doesn't. We don't always know the way to go. We don't always know where to go. But He does. He does. There are times when we want to romp and play. But the good shepherd says, lie down. He maketh me to lie down. Yeah, He does. He is the shepherd. He will do what's right. He will lead us to those verdant pastures. He will lead us beside that still water. He will comfort us in all our times of trouble and trial. And when the enemy is near, He's close by. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us labor to enter into that rest obscurity may shade our path. Sometimes it's dark, we can't see the way. Calamity may slow our progress. Hostility may shake our perception. However, we must remember there is an unseen hand to those about us, guiding us through those shadows. There's an unheard voice to those who are around us, comforting us through the storm. There's an unseen force to those observing our daily life, and this force accompanies us through the struggles of this life we're called upon to go through. God is so good. Are you resting tonight in His care? Are you resting in His comfort? Are you resting in God tonight? Have you been to Him on the first rest? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, to the sinner. Are you saved by the grace of God? Surely Jesus is coming. Surely Jesus is coming. How awful for Him to come and you're not ready to meet Him. God has provided for you such a haven. That song, the haven of rest that I quoted apart, it's real. We can get in there. When the storm, I'm going to tell you this and I'm finished. But a picture one time, this teacher asked her students, just, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12 year old students, said, I want you to draw me a picture of what you think peace is. There were all types of pictures drawn. And some of them, of a family sitting somewhere together and fellowshipping. Maybe another of nation without any threat. I don't remember all of them, but I do remember the last one. And what it was a terrible waterfall coming over a cliff. I mean, there's tons of water pouring. And that teacher kept looking at that, and she said, what do you mean by that? What could be peaceful about that? And the little girl said, teacher, look in behind that waterfall. And then behind that waterfall was a little bird sitting on a twig proceeding out of that cliff, and tons of water rolling by it, and it just sitting in there just calm. Storms are going to come. Hard times are going to come. God has a place. God has a place we can get and rest. Maybe the storm won't go away, but we can rest while it does, while it continues. We'll stand together. I want to ask you tonight, are you a Christian? Boy, how terrible it would be to leave a good church service, like good singing we've heard tonight, and the happiness of the people and the joy that's been expressed by God's people tonight, and you to miss out on that. And worse than that, when you stand before the Lord unprepared to meet Him. Oh, we would wish, and this church has prayed, that you would come to know Christ tonight and that you would be saved. Oh, that you would be saved. This church has a burden for souls. They have a burden for yours. And more than anything in all the world, whatever you need nothing like you need Jesus. Nothing. Will you not come to Him tonight and give Him your heart and life? And then maybe there's others here with problems and heartaches just too grievous even to speak out. Such private things. But you're going through storms in your life. I want you to know God has a place you can get and you can rest through those. You can